Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire. New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyflip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Gamma's Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Pelo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Wow, everybody's excited with the beautiful weather. Thank you, Buzz people.
Yeah, it's going to turn cold, though, in a couple of days, but we just one more hint, I guess.
Yeah, they're saying it's supposed to drop down to, what, 60, 65? Wow.
For the high.
Is it a high 65, is it?
Yeah. Wow. Saturday is supposed to be in the 40s for the low.
Wow.
At least
I thought
in Orlando,
I was done with my... overcoats and everything. I've been watching. I've been doing a lot of bottling. I've been going in early and spending a lot of time at the winery bottling. And so when you start doing that, you just sort of lose contact with the world as it is. And I hadn't heard the long-term forecast. I was just looking at Saturday. We have a festival, and I was hoping we wouldn't rain on Saturday. It's supposed to rain come in tomorrow, but not the weekend. So.
Okay. Are you still doing the starfruit, or is that was that a seasonal thing?
Actually, did a whole batch of it. It is available and it's on the shelf. And we're putting it on our menu now too. I had a whole stack of menus without the starfruit listed on it, and I wasn't going to just toss them away just as starfruit. So I've been explaining about it, but we're making up a little blurb and going to be adding it to the menu, and it will be a permanent fixture.
Wow, nice.
Yeah,
I forgot when I had that last time. It was like in December, November. No, it was actually before that, because I've been in Orlando. I don't know when it was, but the starfruit, if you haven't stopped by there yet, you need to stop by Florida State's Winery and check out the starfruit. It's definitely worth the trip and very delicious, so check it out.
Thank you. The
And the spice. and the spice. And the strawberry. Let me go down the list here.
just go right down. Let's see. And.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go over the menu now because
Yeah, the star fruit is very popular, though. It's really mm-hmm. And if you've never had star fruit, carambola. You know, for those of you who don't know who go by the actual name, it's carambola is the name of the fruit. But it really does smell and taste just like the star fruit. I have people come in and go, "Oh, I love it. I used to have this as a kid." And then they taste it and they go, "Oh, that's so good. It reminds me of, you know, the star fruit." So, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's so I just bottled a batch of it this past week, Tuesday. Today's Thursday. Yeah, Tuesday I did some. So, yeah, it's a permanent factor. And then the spice I did last Friday. So, yeah, everything's getting bottled now. Everything's ready and at that point where I can start putting everything together. So,
you know, excellent. Very good.
It's been busy. We got a new switchboard here for the program, and it's nice. I mean, it's just all sorts of pretty colors and everything at us now and all that. So I have to comment.
It does get your attention, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's on in front of you here, and you're going, "Oh, wow." You know, it just, you know.
Easy to read. Good. Good going, Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, on Blog Talk Radio. So, yay, Blog Talk Radio. Quickly, just a thought out to the people in Oklahoma who are the tornado going through down there yesterday. Destroyed a lot more buildings and stuff like that. And a thought out to New York because they're having a building burned down up there, and there's like a 27 alarm fire that they're battling. And then obviously the airplane crash over in France, the one that happened a couple of days ago. Thoughts out to them too. So I just wanted to do a quick one on that because some of the tragedies out there. Hard cider. Have you ever had any hard cider?
No,
me either. It's growing, though. I saw a special report. It says the growth opportunity is evident. It's a $400 million in sales in 2014. This is up 75.4% from 2013. It's becoming a big, big market. It's classified as a beer market. Actually, hard cider is a beer market. It's attracting more dollars, but it's also attracting more consumers. 4.5% of the households purchased hard cider this year, as our 2014, as opposed to 2013, with only 2.9%. So it's from 2010 to 2014, it has a 278% growth in hard cider. And they attribute that a lot to the advertising. You know, I mean, you watch any TV, you're going to see a hard cider advertisement come on. But the top hard ciders, and this just caught my eye, hard cider, you see it all the time, and that's why it really, I just want to say a little bit about this. But the hard cider market, number one, Angry Orchard, in dollar sales from last year, that's the last full year ending December 28, 2014, but dollar sales from Angry Orchard, $214,477,340. This is up 93% from the previous year. Woodchuck is second, Johnny Appleseed third, Smith and Forge, then Strongbow, and then Stella Artis Cider, Crispin, Michelob Cider. I've never heard of Michelob Cider. Hornsby and Bold Rock. A $1 million, you know, from $214 million down to $2.5 million for Bold Rock and number 10. So, hard cider. The beer market. And I just realized, because it is a beer market, I am trying to get all the wines from every state, and I've got every state except Wyoming, and I will get that, but I realized sitting at the winery, the one from Vermont is a hard cider, which technically that's a beer, not a wine. So I need to replenish that. We need to do something about that. So, but just wanted to cover that a little bit there, because the hard cider market is exploding out there. Okay, 3:26 is today. I've got some things to pass on to all of you today. All that. If we cut this short, I've got myself some sort of a severe little headache in the back of my head, and I don't know what it is, but every once in a while it just hurts. Missouri's number of wineries increased from 50 in 2005 to 129 in 2015. In 10 years, Missouri winery has increased from 50 to 129. The state's Wine and Grape Board also says the Show Me State ranks 8th in the nation for wine production. Missouri, 8th in the nation. Whoever you talk to, and there's different people out there, whoever you talk to, some people say this state, that state, and all that was the biggest wine producer before Prohibition. I've heard from a few different sources that Missouri was one of the biggest ones before Prohibition for wine production. I also heard that Stone in Missouri Winery. It's not Mountain, is it? Is it? Oh, Stone Mountain. Stone Mountain Winery in Missouri? That's one? That doesn't seem right for some reason. Stone Mountain. That doesn't seem right. Stone Mountain Winery in Missouri is...
Stone Hill?
Stone Hill. There you go.
Stone
that's,
Hill.
That's a, well, hill, mountain, I suppose. If they're real big, they become a mountain. Stone Hill. Sure. You're right. That's it.
Sure.
That sounds right. Stone Hill Winery is... The top 10 production of this country, 9 of the 10 are from California. Stone Hill is the only one that's not from California. That's the winery in Missouri. So, oh, we're getting rain. It looks like it anyway. Missouri wineries are getting back up there again, number 10. New wines. This is interesting here. I saw this and I want to share this with you because it's interesting. Stone Brewing Company released 2 new craft beers as part of its Odd Beers for Odd Years program. And it says the classic version, the 2015 Stone Old Guardian Barley Wine. It is a rich American-style barley wine that highlights the melody of bready and toffee notes steaming from its heavy malt bill, the company says. A barley wine. Wow. Yeah, it sounds like beer to me, my engineer just said. Sounds like beer to me. As the beer begins to warm and open up, molasses, banana, and subtle tropical fruit flavors can be detected, they say. For the 2015 Odd version of the Stone Old Guardian Barley Wine, current brewmaster decided to develop an uber-hopped interpretation of the beer. So they're calling it Stone Old Guardian Wine, but they refer to it as beer. Extra hoppy release showcases the attributes of the new Azaka hop varietal. Copious amounts of the hop varietal were used to dry hop the base recipe, which gives the beer a candied fruit character and a citrusy pineapple aromatics. Both varietals are available in 22-ounce bottles and on draft in markets where Stone Brewing products are sold. How do they... I don't know. I don't understand. If they're calling it a wine, how can it be a wine if it's a beer. No. Anybody have an answer for me, let me know. I'm sorry. Well, it's got hops in it, so I guess beer's fermented, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. So, I don't know. If anybody's ever had it, send me a note. It is available by Stone Brewing Company, which is located in Condado, California, and distributed in select markets. I've got a phone number here. I'm going to have to call them and ask them about that because I am curious about that. I was curious about it the other day, but I just reading it again, it made me even more curious. Imported Champagnes. Trelato Wines International has announced a partnership to import the champagnes of Duval Leroy. The house of Duval Leroy, I'm sure it's pronounced Leroy, located in Vertu in the Côte du Blanc region of France, traces its roots back to 1859, they say, when the Duval and Leroy families joined together to create premier cru and grand cru champagnes. They imported a collection of the champagnes, including a Femme de Champagne 2000, Brut 2006, Blanc de Blanc, and Rosé Prestige Brut Premier Cru. And they also have a Brut Premier Cru non-vintage, as well as several others. So, new market distribution is going to be national, so you'll be able to find it on your shelves. But Duval Leroy, D-U-V-A-L-L-E-R-O-Y. And then ports, here's something else, too. Fladgate Partnership, the Fladgate Partnership and U.S. importer Colbrand Wine and Spirits have released two new wine selections, the Croft Quanta de Rueda 2012 and Taylor Fladgate Quanta de Vergalas 2012 ports. They're saying that their fruitiness combined with the raisiny, musky of wild herbs and gum citrus, they are blended with the typical jammy fruits and fresher notes of raspberry and apricot, they're saying, and the palate gives you a lift by crisp acidity and supported by dense, firm, sinewy tannins. Sinewy tannins. I like that phrase. The ports offer pure fruit aromas combined with notes. The other one, pure woodland fruit aromas combined with notes of wild herbs, gum, citrus, and discreet hints of vanilla. This says that the tannins on the mid palate provide plenty of grip and an attractive touch of acidity. So, if you're a port person, and these sound like a little bit classic ports here, a little more of a classic port, 2012 vintages on both of them, those are available, and they are on the shelf. That's, distribution is national on those also, so they are out there, so it's something to look for. U.S. wine market drives the growth in global consumption. This was an interesting little thing here. A recent survey commissioned by International Wine and Spirits Group, VinExpo, has found that the United States is the leader of wine consumption. That's the alcohol category's largest wine market. So U.S. is number one in that. Yay for us. Consuming 312.5 million cases of wine in 2013, the U.S. was the only market among the top 10 wine-drinking countries to show growth. The increase was lower than in the preceding year, but it was still overall up as opposed to other countries that was down. Between 2009 and 2013, global wine consumption increased by 2.7% to just over 2.6 billion 9-liter cases, 9 liters to what they always count as, which is just the equivalent of 31.7 billion bottles. They expect the growth to continue by just about 1% between 2014 and 2018. Among the different wine varietals, red continues to dominate, representing 54.8% of all still wine consumed in 2013. Rosé wine category least affected by the 2013 slump in demand, with 2013 global sales at 219.1 million cases compared to 219.7 in 2012. Sparkling wine, excluding champagne, so this is just actually worldwide except for France, accounted for 8% of global wine consumption, and that's expected to grow by almost 9% by 2018. Between 2009 and 2013, U.S. consumption of sparkling wine grew by 23%. And they expect U.S. consumption of sparkling wine to increase by another 15% over the next 4 to 5 years. Wow. So, hey, good for us. We are drinking wine, and we are drinking a lot of wine. We are number one in the world. So we can be happy about that. If nothing else, we are number one in the world. This is another article. This is out of February 23rd, 2012. And it lists the wine consumption in the United States is poised to rise by 11% over the next 5 years, permitting Americans to be still number one. That increase would be below the 12% growth in the previous 5 years. France and Italy are also expected to see their wine markets contract, though they are projected to remain number two and number three, respectively, behind the United States. But France and Italy are still ahead of Germany, China, the United Kingdom, Argentina, Russia, Spain, and Australia. So that is your list there of the United States number one, and then Australia is at the bottom of the... Russia's in there, though. That surprised me. Top brands of table wines. Number one, Barefoot. And we talked to the founders of Barefoot. You can go back and check that out on archives if you like. That they have a book out also telling their story and all that. Interesting book. Really, really an interesting book. I grabbed that and read that thing. And it tells how it all came about and how they became the Barefoot brand and all. So, interesting book. They do speaking tours, so if you ever see them in town for anything, very interesting people. I don't. They're not husband and wife. They are partners, and they do a lot of speak about a lot of the stuff that they went through and all that. Franzia Box comes in at number two. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi's 3. Sutter Home 4. And, you know, dollar sales on Barefoot, $124.5 million. Francia Box, $73.7 million. Barefoot just runs away with it. I mean, it's just amazing. Sutter Home 4. Yellowtail, number 5. Kendall Jackson, 6. Chateau Saint Michel, 7. Menage de Troyes, 8. That surprised me. They're in there. Behringer is 9. And Cupcake comes in at 10 at $37.4 million in sales. So the U.S. is right up there strong in all, you know, pretty much out of this top 10, most of them are California. So we would expect that. Another premium wine that's national distribution here is based on the TV show Downton Abbey. I don't know how many of you are a fan out there. That's a very, very popular show. I've never became a watcher of the Downton Abbey series, and I probably should. It, But, you know, now everything's available in Hulu and all that other stuff, so you really don't have to catch it right away. Season 5 premiere of Downton Abbey on PBS was the same time that they launched the Downton Abbey wine portfolio. With the Countess of Grantham collection. If you watch the show, you know what that is, Countess of Grantham. I don't, so I don't. The wines will be marketed and distributed through PL360 Beverage Partners. They are premium fruit wines from California. The collection features a Cabernet Sauvignon and a Chardonnay, which both take their inspiration from character Lady Cora Crowley, the thoroughly modern, American-born wife of British aristocrat Robert Crowley, Earl of Grantham. Well, that's... And if you watch it, then you know all that. If you don't, then the wine may be great anyway, a Cabernet Sauvignon and a Chardonnay. They're saying bold-flavored and fruit-forward. They complement Downton Abbey wine's more classically reserved Bordeaux offerings. The winemaking team looked at estate vineyards in Lodi as the fruit source for the new ones. They say they combine the old world winemaking practices with the newest winemaking techniques to come up with the flavors and taste for the Downton Abbey Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay. So, you watch Downton Abbey, Mike? Have you ever seen that?
No, I've heard of it, though.
Yeah, I think we've all heard of it. It's a big thing and all that. No, I have never seen it either. So, oh, well.
Okay.
Always a controversial thing, always a big thing whenever we start talking anything about fracking. One of the most listened shows that we ever did was when we talked about fracking, hydraulic fracturing, and it's really a controversial point. People are really, they get on the bandwagon for fracking one way or the other. We talked about fracking on the program because of the incidence of groundwater and the chemical water that they're using, how it might affect the grapes and the grapevines. And it was no conclusion. We didn't come up with anything. But we also talked about the possibilities of fracking in areas like California and Pennsylvania and New York and, you know, a lot of grape growing regions and a lot of areas like that. But again, no conclusions, and we examined fracking. We showed how it could affect it and all that. Interesting shows. If you haven't heard the fracking programs, I guess it was a year and a half ago or so that we first talked about it, and it was look at your gas prices now. They're attributing our gas prices now to the fracking boom in this country. So I don't know. We no stance one way or the other. I just wouldn't do that. But the reason I brought that up again, New York State has banned fracking. Hydraulic fracturing. Environmentalists cheered and the oil industry protested when Governor Andrew Cuomo recently made an unofficial ban on fracking official. He declared that it was a health and environmental risk and outweighed the benefits. The practice of harvesting natural gas involves, like I said, injecting a mixture of water and chemicals at high pressure into underground rocks that force open fissures that contain oil and natural gas. Its detractors point to growing concern about respiratory hazards from workers and people living in the vicinity, and risk to underground water supplies from chemicals and the use of enormous amounts of water, which is becoming an increasingly rare resource in a lot of areas. They're having to truck it in and all that and everything else. Karen Moreau of the New York State Petroleum Council criticized Cuomo for ignoring America's need for energy security, which is always the line that they use. Moreau added that regulations already exist to protect the environment, although oil companies have largely refused to disclose the types of chemicals they use in fracking, saying the information is proprietary. Now, I saw something in the paper, and I don't have it. I saw something in the paper the other day where it says that the chemicals that are being used in fracking, it has to be disclosed. Now, it's something was passed in federal government level saying that the chemicals, I'm pretty sure it was, I'll have to find that and see what that's about. But they have to tell you what chemicals they're using. Fracking is already banned in dozens of municipalities in New York with the blessing of the state's courts of appeals, which ruled that towns could use zoning ordinances to ban fracking. So it's been banned pretty much already in a lot of areas, but it is now official. New York State has banned fracking, which, with the number of grapevines there, you know, I'm almost thinking it's probably a good thing. I can't help but think that those grapevines will be affected by that water. It would almost seem impossible for them not to be. And then, is that going to pick them up and put them in the grapes and all that? There we go again. We're not going to get on the subject of fracking again. The drought in California, still ongoing. The little bit of snows and rains that they had go through, they said just barely touched it. It's still a serious problem. It's still going on. A couple of things I have seen saying that they're predicting some droughts moving up the coast into areas of Oregon and Washington. The rain patterns, they say, aren't coming in. It's not established like it should. The El Nino or El Nina or La Nina is not forming like it should, whatever one it is that they need to form. It should be coming in a little bit later, but it's not going to bring in the rains and stuff like it usually does this time of year. So the drought is continually going on, and the state of California is looking at putting a $1 billion program into effect to help with the droughts and the waters and all that. But I saw this little article, which I thought was just absolutely fascinating. It says a study that was published in the Journal of American Geophysical American Geophysical Union and undertaken by researchers at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute and the University of Minnesota concluded that California's past three drought years are the most severe that region has experienced in at least 1,200 years. Wow. The study measured the growth of tree rings to estimate how wet each year has been. Tree rings from 278 blue oaks in central and southern California were measured and then compared the collected information to a tree ring record database for longer-lived trees, which take the record back about 1,200 years to approximately AD 800. Findings from the study also reveal that 2014 was the single worst year of drought in the past 1,200 years. So this drought situation is not just something that we go, oh yeah, well they have a drought and it's going, you know, they'll get over it. I was living in California in the droughts that they had back in the late 70s, and there was we were short of water in the late 70s. It was an issue, a major issue, and we were told to put blocks and bricks in our toilets and to on and off showers and all sorts of different things. There was all sorts of rules that they came out, and every day on the news they came out and told us to cut back on it. That, compared to now, was nothing. So it's serious. 1,200 years since they've had droughts this bad. There's an article. from, what magazine is this? This is Beverage World. What's one of my favorite magazines? I really enjoy Beverage World. But this is an unusual installation that enables Joseph Phelps Vineyards to harness the force of gravity for its winemaking operation. And I'm not going to get into this. It's a rather long article, but it talks about how they are using gravity to pump stuff down and to move stuff around, and wine barrels are loaded into the winery's vertical reciprocating conveyor, what they call it, and so that it can move wine around. And it's just built into the side of a mountain so that the winery has a unique production process and all that. So Joseph Phelps, the reason I'm not going to get into any depth in this right now is because I want to give them a call and ask them about this, and I haven't done so yet. Like I said, I've been busy doing my bottling so much, I just haven't done much about the program here. So I apologize to all of you regular listeners out there. But I'm going to give Joseph Phelps a call and see what I can find out about their new process and what they're doing there. So we'll do that. Top sparkling wines. Premium sparkling wines are driving the growth. I just read a little bit ago there to you about how the sparkling wines are expected to grow by leaps and bounds. Everything is saying that it's going to go up. People are doing more advertising. They're telling people that sparkling wines is not just for the holidays, but it's for all the time. And there's lots of things out there that you can have your sparkling wines, your Proseccos, your Cavas, your Champagnes with, besides just a celebratory situation of birthdays or holidays. Growth of sparkling wines is increased 4.5% to $9.2 billion. This was ending in 2014. So $9.2 billion in sparkling wine sales alone, which is up over 2% from the previous year. The top sparkling wines, that's one of the things I want to tell you about on this. Instead of going on, it's quite a long article here about the top sparkling wines, but the top sparkling wines in this past year, number one, Korbel, and you see that advertised a lot. Cook's, also that's advertised a lot. And number three, Barefoot Bubbly. I think when we had the founders of Barefoot on there, they said that they were coming out with a sparkling wine. I decided to go into that. So that's there also. Andre is next. I'm going to mispronounce this. Vouvray Clicquot Pontsardin, V-E-U-V-E, Vouvray C-L-I-C-Q-U-O-T, Clicquot P-O-N-S-A-R-D-I-N, Pontsardin. They are next on the list. And then Martini and Rossi, La Marca, Cupcake Vineyard, Chandon, and Mum Napa. I think there's other Mum. So those are your top champagnes for sales for last year. I'm sure they will continue being about the same coming up into the new year. There's enough separation between them all that I don't foresee any one of them really taking off and outselling another one. Let me see. I wanted to pull up and talk about a couple of things here that I saw. Let me see if this is it. Oregon's wine industry emerges as an outsized ag force. They're saying that the wine industry is becoming an enormous force of agriculture in Oregon is starting to do. Paso Robles, here's an interesting thing. So 10 Paso Robles wineries to watch. Now, if you're not buying Paso Robles wines, you really should be checking those out. Paso Robles is located in Central California. It is just fascinating. We had Irene on with us a couple of weeks ago, and she's heading down there now to talk to a lot of wineries in Paso Robles and visit them. A fascinating area there. I mean, you go on the hills and all that, just west of the city of Paso Robles, and there's little bitty wineries just everywhere. It's absolutely fascinating. I just love that area there. I used to go to it all the time. It was so small and very few wineries in it, but now it's got this the temperatures and the microclimates and all that. It's just fascinating. I keep saying fascinating, and that's really the best way to describe it. 10 wineries. Let's see, what is this one? Aaron Jackson. Been making, well, that doesn't say what winery it is. It just talks about the winemaker there. Well, no, this is, it's saying, I thought it was going to list wineries. It's not. It's different varieties that are growing in the Paso Robles region and both sides of the highway going down through there I found a Barbera there when I was there a few years ago that was just absolutely phenomenal. I compared to a lot of the Italian Barberas that I have. I love a Barbera anyway, and it was really fascinating. So, but the hills and the rolling hills and the vineyards and everything in the Paso Robles area, fascinating. Just absolutely a wonderful area to go to and a wonderful area to visit. And if you ever get an opportunity, by all means, take a trip there. Texas Tech professor says that the Texas wine industry has grown dramatically, and they are planting a lot more vineyards. When we talked to the Texas wineries, they said, we need people to grow grapes. The grape growing business has exploded in Texas. They've been putting a lot in the ground, and they're starting to come to fruition. And there are some phenomenal wines coming out of Texas because of it. This next thing here, I had customers come in and tell me about it, so I looked it up. Excuse me. I looked this up. Arsenic. I don't know if you've all heard the latest that very high levels of arsenic in top-selling wines. I hadn't heard it. And a customer came in and said, yeah, there's, you know, they're saying that there's lots of arsenic in it and all that. And particularly the Trinchero family estates wines. These are the ones that were tested and all. And they're saying it's, they're being sued. There's a number of wineries that are being sued because of the arsenic level. But it's just recent warnings of amount of arsenic in apple juice and rice, and they're doing a lawsuit that's going to be filed in California. Probably should be filed. When was this dated? No, it just dated about a week ago, so not even a week ago. So it's supposed to be coming up. Some of the country's top-selling wines have high levels of the element of arsenic, up to 4 to 5 times the maximum amount the EPA allows for drinking water. There are almost no federal labeling requirements to tell you what's really in wine. So a Denver lab started running tests to find out. Yeah, every once in a while they kick out this thing. Well, you should put on there what's in the wine. Oh, my gosh, let's open up a can of worms for this. we've had different guests on tell us a glass of red wine has over 350 chemicals, a glass of white wine over 250. What type of labeling are we going to be able to put on these things? A little fold-out thing that, you know, you've seen those on aspirin bottles or different pills where it folds out to about a foot long and print so small that you can't read it. Yeah, I mean, that. Come on now, you know. But after 15 years of working in wine distribution business, a Kevin Hicks started Beverage Grades. It's a laboratory that analyzes wines. He says some very, very high levels of arsenic are found in wines. He tested more than 1,300 bottles of wine, and he said almost a quarter of them had levels higher than the EPA allows in drinking water, which is 10 parts per billion. He says the lower the price of the wine on a per liter basis, the higher the amount of arsenic. Ooh, I don't know. It seems like a little jump into the, if that's the case, everybody just raised their prices and said, well, look, I don't have arsenic, mine costs more. These included Trader Joe's famous two-buck chuck, two-buck chuck white Zinfandel, which came in at three times the limit. A bottle of Menage a Trois Moscato was four times the limit, and a Francia white Grenache had five times the limit. He said he took the results of these wine companies, and most wine companies, when I mention arsenic and wine in the same sentence, literally hung up on him. He was trying to get their attention, and he wasn't trying to blow the whistle, he said. He plans on filing the suit Thursday, which actually that would be today. I haven't seen anything or heard anything, but it should be going in today for them misrepresenting their wine as safe. He said they've done testing with two separate labs, and he said the results actually stand up. He said 50 parts per billion of arsenic, the highest level found in any of the bottled sick tests, can be deadly over time. Well, yeah, I suppose anything can be deadly over time. So can, you know. Even though parts per billion seems like a very small amount, he said that arsenic is highly toxic. It has many of the same effects as someone smoking a cigarette. But he based on studies of drinking water, which is the only beverage which with an arsenic limit set by the government. I would say, and this is just me, this is not an article, if you're going to do that, then let's test some other stuff. Let's test whiskeys and vodkas and rums and all that stuff. Let's test some beers and hard ciders I just mentioned earlier and all this. If you're going to start testing stuff. Estimates that approximately 1 in 100 people who drink water like the arsenic levels throughout their lifetime die from arsenic, mostly due to cancers from it. The federal government doesn't regulate wine like it does water, said the wine group, one of the companies named in the lawsuit. It would not be accurate or responsible to use the water standard as the baseline, because people actually drink more water than wine. Well, I don't know about that. He also pointed out the highest level of arsenic cited in the lawsuit is only half of Canada's standard for wine, which is 100 parts per billion. And that's Canada's. And so we're setting the highest levels with 50. He said a case-by-case basis is the way that they should go about it. The industry is not properly regulated, but the state of California has recognized the 10 parts per billion is a dangerous amount. Again, that's a good point, though, and if water, you're going to end up drinking a lot more water throughout your life. I don't know, is arsenic dispelled from your body? I don't know. Certain things are. I mean, you put something in your body, and your body takes care of it and gets rid of it as waste, since it has no use for it. Is arsenic one that builds up and it doesn't disappear? Well, then, if that were the case, then kids are drinking water continuously, and if it builds up, then it could be a problem. But, you know, let's go back to wine. The California Attorney General's office confirmed that all the law requires, that's all the law requires, but some of them think that's not enough. The California law that requires businesses to warn consumers that their products contain a chemical known to the state to cause cancer. California's threshold is 10 parts per billion, same as the EPA's water standard, but the Wine Institute said the industry already provides warning signs to be posted in retail stores. I've never seen it. This wine may contain arsenic label, or sign. Two other defendants in the lawsuit responded to CBS News. One was Treasury Wine Estates, said its, quote, brands are fully compliant with all relevant federal and state guidelines. And Trader Joe's, which does the classic two-buck chuck, said, quote, the concerns raised in your inquiry are serious and are being treated as such. We're investigating the matter with several of our wine-producing suppliers. He says the ultimate goal is to get the winemakers to recall these wines, to get them to refund the money to the people who paid for them, and ultimately to clean up the wine industry in California. You know, okay. To most consumers, it may or may not help them, but it sure would be a big incentive for wine producers to get down to drinking water standards. Yeah. CBS also spot-checked and tested four wines listed in the lawsuit. They were not the same vintages, but the arsenic levels were considerably lower than the results by the group. One of them, the wine group's flip-flop Pinot Grigio, came in within the respectful, acceptable federal arsenic levels for water. The others were at or above the limit, including Trader Joe's two-buck Chuck White Zin, which was tested again at more than twice the standard. Editor's note on this says an earlier version of the story identified the wine group's Frenzy of Blush as the wine that the plaintiffs tested at over five times the limit. In fact, the wine that the plaintiffs tested at that level was the wine group's Frenzy of White Grenache. Trinchera family responded. Oh, we got rain coming at us. Oh, we got rain on us here. Wow. Well, not on me. I'm inside, but it's raining here. Gets as cold as Mike says, it might even turn to snow. The Transero family says, over the past few days, there have been considerable media attention resulting from claims regarding possible health and safety concerns with a number of California wines, including some produced by our company. We have been working very closely with California Wine Institute and other wineries to quickly assess and resolve this situation, which has created unnecessary fear among wine drinkers. This is an industry-wide issue, and we take it very seriously and intend to dispute it aggressively. As a family-owned company for over 60 years, the quality of our products and the health of our consumers is our first priority. Trinchero has always employed sustainability practices and stringent quality assurance throughout the company, from the vineyard to the winemaking production to the bottling, to be sure everything is safe. The U.S. Trade and Tax and Trade Bureau, the TTB, the agency that regulates wine, beer, and spirits, monitors wine for compounds, including arsenic, as part of its testing program. In addition to the TTB, all of our wines and spirits are subject to comprehensive quality and food safety measurement or management systems to further ensure safety. Our company has been awarded industry certifications, including Safe Quality Food Certification, ISO 9001, which is Quality Management System Certification, and California Certified Organic Farming Certification. Organic's got arsenic. All of our wines are below all of those well-established global consumer wine safety standards. Please be assured that the Trinchero family, as well as the California Wine Institute, despite these claims, and are actively pursuing all remedies to defend against the defamatory statements about our company and our products. We look forward to addressing the situation as quickly as possible so our consumers can confidently continue to enjoy the safe, quality California wines that the company has produced for generations. So, yeah, I don't know. Customers ask me about that. But a glass of wine has over 250 chemicals, and you're not going to be drinking as much as water. So if they're comparing that to water, I think it's an unfair comparison myself, because kids are going to be drinking water their whole lives. They're not going to be drinking wine their whole lives to build up. And I don't know that, and did he test any of the areas? One of the first comments said, what about the wines that come from New York, France, Italy, Spain, Germany, all these other areas? Grab those and test those. Let's see what those are all about and all that. I don't know. I tend to think it's a scare thing that they really. I don't know. So, we're all going to die anyway. So why not die by drinking wine? I mean,
Yeah, sure.
If you want to look at it like that, hey, what a way to go. I'm dying, kids. Why, Dad? Because I drank too much wine.
We told right. you.
We told you. We told you.
Wow.
So, there you go. Just some information tonight, and we'll let it go. I apologize again. My head is just, I don't know what it is back there, but I don't know what I did. So there we go. That's our show for tonight. I'll let you talk about our festival this weekend.
You have a festival? What?
We have a festival.
That's right. This Saturday, March 28th, come out and enjoy the weekend. Have a glass of wine. Relax. Bring an umbrella, possibly. And... that might be necessary. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it'll rain tonight, tomorrow, and get over with, and Saturday will be a great day. So come on out. And definitely check out the starfruit wine. Oh, man, that's good. We'll be right back in one minute and 15 seconds, I think. Yeah,
coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. Come on out and enjoy Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's going to be a lot of shopping, a lot of vendors there, food as well, food drinks. So come on out. You're definitely going to enjoy visiting the vendors and a lot more. It's always fun. And it's a great chance to pick up unique gifts for friends, family members, and everything. So come on out. Let's see, there's no class. The next class is April the 12th, it looks like.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I got on here. So mark your calendars if you're going to be in the area. April 12th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's very educational, a lot of fun, and it's a great, you'll learn everything. It's a wine class, April the 12th. And while you're in the area, you stop by the winery anyway, besides tasting the, doing a tasting there. It's very enjoyable, and definitely pick the star fruit. I was just going through the the tip jar this month is wheelchairs for kids, and you definitely want to support a great cause there. The group is, they make sure that the kids have the right size wheelchair as they grow, as the kids grow, because wheelchairs don't. So come on down and put a little something in the tip jar that's up there at the front. So do that. Also, be sure to plan for this. May the 9th is Woofstock, W-O-O-F. Stock, Woofstock. It's a fundraiser for Pasco Animal Services. It's going to be a lot of fun and something you want to attend as well. So stay tuned, and we'll give you some more information on that. There's also a Wounded Warriors fundraiser later this year. And what else do you have? Guardian Ad Litem fundraiser. So we'll give you some more details here as well. And you can also get details by subscribing to the newsletter that comes out every 2 weeks. Go to FloridaEstatesWines.com and subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll get the details on that as well. Also, if you bring in a donation of pet food for Raffle Rescue, you get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. All right? So stop in. And I didn't check my schedule next week. It looks like I am checking my schedule next week. Nope. Oh, I don't know. I might be able to. I don't know if I'll be able to get over here in time.
Good. We'll look forward to having you join us next week.
Yeah, yeah. Might be able to. I don't know if I can get here in traffic, but yeah, that'll be interesting to rush through.
Well, we'll look forward to you joining us next week.
Yeah. Wow, that's almost like a month. A whole month.
Yeah. Next month. Yeah. Right. Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. 4 weeks in a row. Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's strange. Okay, I will we'll go ahead, and I don't think there's anything else we need to announce, or do you have anything else going on?
Nope.
There? No? Okay. Then nope. We will see you all next Thursday. That's April the 2nd. At 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and you all have
Thank
a great
you.
Rest of the week. Drink lots of wine. It's not going to harm you.
You sure doesn't have arsenic. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Ask your wine. But we'll see y'all next time. Thanks a lot. See ya.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at FloridaEstatesWines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@FLEWN.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.